Thank you for the ministry of music to us. Let's just ask the Lord to... I'd like to come there, but I better not come completely there. So I always love it when I have young people on the front line. So thank you for being here tonight. And for the... I like old guys too, anyway. But anyway, so let's just bow our heads and... The wonderful words that we sang in all these songs is that we might know the Lord, that we might be close to the Lord. Paul says, that I may know Him. Know Him. And that is an awesome thing, and it's a forever thing, because I am, the great I am, infinite as God. So, never gets to a point where we say, oh, I got that figured out. Let's just draw near to Him right now. Lord Jesus, we're here tonight. We just want to quiet our hearts. We just want to thank You that You are so kind to be with us. Your grace, Your mercy. The Lord Jesus has died to pay for our price. And then He longs to be close to us. May we long to be close to Him. May the Lord Jesus truly be the center. By Your Spirit, we pray that we will focus on Him, that we will be confident in Him, and that we'll just enjoy Him tonight. May we truly allow the Lord Jesus to accomplish what He longs to do. So we bow before You in our hearts, we reverence You, and we just ask for Your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. I noticed I have a prop here. It does look a little more creative than I had it. We talked this morning about, obviously, if you know the Lord Jesus... Now, obviously, if you don't, then life is exactly like this, right? It's barren. But we can know the Lord Jesus and still not stay very tight with Him, not very close, and life ends up being pretty barren. What we long, and I don't think any of us here tonight want to live a barren life. I don't think you'd be here unless your mom made you come, right? But anyway, you know, we're not here to be barren. We want to have a bountiful life. And this just gives us a picture of what we want. But you know what? It is a huge challenge to live like that, stay like that. To live through the hard times as well as the easy times and still be bountiful. And what makes it even more complicated is that God calls us not just to grow, but to minister. He has given us a mission. He's given us a mandate. And so to accomplish His will and continue to bear fruit even complicates it more, doesn't it? Now let's go to John 16 as we move further along in this wonderful, such an amazing book. John is truly, what a wonderful, wonderful book. And I was thinking about this somewhat of a side note. It is so personal. But if we think about the book itself, written by the Apostle John, the Apostle started with the Lord Jesus early on, right? But he lived the longest of all the Apostles. And he was the Apostle that the Lord Jesus loved, he says. He doesn't talk about himself, but he mentions that phrase. The Apostle, the one who the Lord Jesus loved, he was so close to the Lord Jesus. And so if we want to learn from someone who can help us really be close to the Lord Jesus and grow, John's a wonderful human instrument to teach us these principles. Now let's look at this and we think about this mission. We read these words in John 16, 1 through 7. These things I have spoken to you. Now, in all fairness, I want to go back up to 15:26 because we're talking about the Spirit. Let me go back and I start again in 15:26. When the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me. And you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. We have amazing responsibility as well as tremendous privilege. In John 15, and if we took our eyes and we went all the way back to verse 16 of John 15, I read these words. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. Now, bearing fruit, manifesting Christ, involves not only his work within us, but his work through us. And his work through us is to impact, it's to have impact on those around us. There is a mission, and we all have a mandate. We all have ministry, things that God longs to do through us. And you're the only person on the planet that can do what God wants you to do. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you are significant. You are important in God's plan. But it's not without challenge. I remember this little story. And I was raised on a farm, as probably that shows up. But it reminds me of this little story, this little boy. And I can so see this. He was just a short little guy. And actually, I always have to bring in my grandson. He was with us yesterday. But just about his height, right? Just our grandson's about a year and a half. This little boy had been maybe two and a half. And anyway, he was with his dad. And his dad apparently had put him up in the back of the pickup truck. And, you know, his dad was doing something else. And as dads forget, you know, where is that kid, right? Anyway, he was playing in the back of the pickup truck. You know, how a pickup truck where you can take the tailgate and just lay it flat. So if you want to load or something, you know. But anyway, the tailgate was down. And the little boy decided, you know, dad had forgot me. And he wanted to get down. And so he thinks, what am I going to, you know, in his little mind, how am I going to get down? Well, he gets on his belly, and I can't do this perfectly, but he gets on his belly, and he starts sliding, right? And he slides toward the back, and then his little feet, his little legs start, they go over, and they start dangling, you know? And then he realizes he's got a problem. It's way too far down to drop, and there's no way to get back up. And he's hanging there. And somebody hears the little boy. Somebody help the boy. Somebody help the boy. Somebody help the boy. You know what? We need somebody to help us. We need some. You know, the Lord Jesus says, I'm the true vine. You know what? If we didn't need help, he wouldn't be there for us. He knows we need help. We're desperate without him. We all are. To bear fruit within and through. So, who's going to help us in our ministry of not only becoming, but doing what he wants us to do? And we have awesome, wonderful news. The Lord Jesus sent a helper in the Holy Spirit. We want to address that as initially. The Lord Jesus provides the Holy Spirit to help us. Now, whatever God calls you to do. Now, the apostles were unique. They had a unique ministry. They started it all as the Spirit of God worked in them initially after Pentecost. They got this going. But we now are the ones. The baton is passed to you and to me to carry on the ministry. We need help. We need help. Now, let's look at our passage again. We talk about these initial verses. The Spirit is provided by the Lord Jesus. That's why I wanted to go to 26 again of 15. When the Helper comes, whom I will send from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. Aren't you so glad he's referred to as the Spirit of truth? It is one of the sad things in our culture is that truth has been minimized. I understand that. But we desperately need truth. You know, we say, well, you know, you take your deal, I'll take my deal, it doesn't matter. Well, let me ask you a question. Would you like your pharmacist to have that perspective? Well, I like this color. Put a little powder in there, another little powder. You get blue, I'll take pink. It doesn't matter. Really? Well, you know, I take more pills than I want to take. But believe me, I'm kind of glad my pharmacist knows what they're doing. That there is a measurement. There is a standard. There is truth. And it is even more important in the spiritual realm than it is in the physical. Because the spiritual realm goes on forever. So we better make sure we got the truth. And the great news is the Spirit of truth has come. The Spirit of truth. He is not going to lie to you. He is not going to deceive you. The Spirit of truth. The Lord Jesus says, I'm going to send him. I'm going to send him the Spirit of truth. And he, now notice one of the big things he's going to do. We cannot miss this. Verse 26 again of 15, he will testify about me. You know what the Spirit of God wants to bring attention to? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. The great I am. Earlier this morning we talked about he is man. And he is absolutely man. And we need to realize that. Or he couldn't have died for our sins. But he also is God. And that means his death was sufficient for the world. So he is God, man. He is God. And the Spirit of God, and the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, always work in conjunction, in harmony. And the Spirit's job, one of His primary jobs, is to highlight the truth of the Lord Jesus. Because He knows how awesome He is. Sometimes we forget. Right? And He comes to testify of Christ. And as Paul, as we said, that I may know Him. There is no knowledge on this planet more important than knowing Him. Because all of eternity is wrapped up in Him. All that makes any difference at all is wrapped up in Him. And so, He comes, the Spirit comes to testify. And notice, and this is where it gets helpful for us, specifically in verse 26, and you will testify also. So, the Spirit of God comes to testify about Christ, but He works in people to testify through people about Christ. So you think, well, my job's too big. You know, it's too much. Not if you have the Spirit of God. Whatever God calls us to do, which each one of us have a unique response and a responsibility, but the Spirit of God, if you've trusted Christ, the Spirit of God is in you, and whatever God calls you to do, you know what? He's there to help you, to empower you, to help you do what really counts. You will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. And this was uniquely, specifically to the apostles, and then that application carries through to us. Now notice, he says as we move into 16, these things I have spoken to you that you may be kept from stumbling. Now some of the things we talked about this morning. He has told us about the vine. I am the true vine, the Lord Jesus said. So he talks about our resource in Christ. But then, and we just barely brushed this morning, is the vindictiveness of the world. It talks about the hatred of the world. Now, that's not popular, right? You know, who wants to talk about, you know, oh, they hate me. Oh, yeah, that's nice, you know. We don't want to talk. But it's a reality because there's a spiritual war out there. And our greatest enemy, the evil one, Satan himself, hates you. He hates you. And those who follow him join in. Now, some of them are nicer, I know, and I'm thankful for that. But if they are following him and push comes to shove, they're going to hate you. And it's going to come out. It's going to show up. How are we going to handle that? You know what? If somebody, I really like people who like me. Me? What's wrong with me, right? Most of us don't intentionally try to get people that don't like us. Oh, I'm glad you hate me. Oh, that's nice. No, no, we're relational. We're created relationally. We like to relate to people in a healthy way. And one of the challenges we have as Christians is when people don't like us, whether it's on the playground, whether it's in the high school group, whether it's in the university setting, when the antagonism of the world is expressed through those individuals, our temptation is to cut and run. Ah, man, I don't want any more of this. I'm not going to talk about Jesus anymore. I don't want to be identified with that church. I don't want to go to that youth group. We would stumble. And that's the idea. You know, you're running along, and bam, you hit a hole and you go down. He's saying, I'm saying these things. I'm saying that Lord Jesus is your resource, but I'm warning you the world is your enemy. And I'm telling you ahead of time so you don't trip up in your Christian race. So you don't mess up in your mission that God's called you to. And so he's preparing them. He's preparing them. I don't know if you noticed, I was setting, several people said, did your kids come this morning, right? Well, no, I can't feed that many kids. But anyway, there were two of them, the guy and the girl that were in, they're, we're in this thing of premarital counseling, right? And I'm doing some of the premarital counseling. Now, when you're doing premarital counseling, I mean, you don't want to say marriage is terrible, right? You want to say, you want to have a biblical pattern, you want to understand, the joys of marriage, right? Let's applaud, But, in premarital counseling, you also want to tell them something about the problems, some of the challenges. Now, I haven't been married as long as some of you, but I have been married. Marty and I have crossed the 40-year line, right? We were married when we were 3. But anyway, been married 40 years, right? And it's all been glorious, right? Yeah. Yeah, she would tell you how wonderful I am, but since she's not here, Man, the only reason, God kept us together is because God's gracious. And I've been a jerk on various occasions. But because she's not here, you can't ask her what that is about. So anyway, but just think, we try to prepare them so that their marriage will hold together for the long run. God, through His Son, is trying to prepare us so that our race, our relationship with Him, will hold together for the long run. We want to fit. None of us want to say, I'm a loser. I didn't make it. We all want to finish well. By God's, and only by God's grace can we finish well. But by His grace, through His Spirit, we can finish well. We can. That's wonderful. Because the Spirit has come. Because the Spirit has come. Now let's look at our passage again. Now notice it gets pretty tough here. Verse 2, they will make you outcasts. Oh, who wants to be outcast? They will make you outcast from the synagogue, which for them was a big, big deal. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you. Whoa! Who kills you? Did you get that? Who kills you to think that he is offering service to God? Well, remember the words, and I just read these to you. They're out of Acts. This is before Saul became Paul, before he became a believer. Saul still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Do you realize how many Christians today are in danger? It's so intense. I so thank the Lord to live in Canada where God has preserved our freedoms. And we can meet in a place like, isn't that a wonderful thing? But you know what? That is just God's sheer grace and kindness and somewhat of a history of at least Christians who have gone before us who have established some principles that continue to protect us. But there are many dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus who are hiding somewhere today, trying to meet in a little corner of the world to stay safe, to bring praise to the Lord Jesus. Some of those dear brothers and sisters don't even have a Bible. If they saw how many Bibles we have in our house, they would faint, right? And we, one of the things it says, and I know you know various, and I know missionaries come through and thank the Lord, but we, you know a lot of people we need to be praying for, don't you? Because this world is hostile to the Lord Jesus. But thank the Lord, we have the Spirit of the Lord. But the Lord Jesus is trying to prepare those whom He loves. He's trying to prepare them for the days that would come. Notice verse 3, these things they will also do because they have not known the Father or Me. The Lord Jesus and the Father are just one. They're together. And of course, we know the Father through the Son. One of our problems, though, and if you notice this, it says they will these things they will do because they have not known the Father or Me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes, when they persecute you, you will remember what I told you. Now, we're talking about this tonight. We need to remember this in the days to come. Now, I'm not trying to make some dark prediction. I don't know what's coming. But we need when problems, pain, persecution comes, we need to remember. We need to remember these things because that will help protect us so we're not naive. A.W. Tozer made this comment. He warns us. Men think of the world not as a battleground, but as a playground. They think we are not here to fight. We're here to frolic. Now, I know it's an old word, but you get the picture, right? I want a lot more. Let's just play games. I don't have anything against the games, but let's just play. God says, this life is more than just about playing. He's not against us having a great time. We'll talk about the joy that He offers, but we need to have a mindset. We're here. It's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war. And there's going to be battle. That's why we put on the armor, right? It's a war out there. So, not to be negative, but to remember that this is a dangerous time and we're in the middle of it. And you think, whoa, the clouds are dark. So let's not be naive. Let's be prepared. Let's be ready for whatever it is that comes our way. And that's what the Lord Jesus is trying to help us with. He so knows what we need to hear. I want to read these words, and I'm going to read them from, this is John 13, verse 1. I read these to you, but it's actually the intro to this section that we're in right now. And I want you to listen to these words, John 13, 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, that He would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Now, why do I read that? These words are expressions of His love to us. He loves you. He knows it's not easy. He knows life is not easy. But He loves you. And He's preparing you. That's what He's doing. He's preparing all of us. And when we read these words and we think about even the hardships, out of His love, He's preparing us for whatever's coming. Because He loves you. He loves you. I think sometimes, you know, we just need to sense, ah, man, God, just see, you know, His arms are wrapped around me. He just cares about me. He knows life is not easy, and He's preparing us because He loves us. And these words are words of love. It's His love letter, especially in this zone that we're in. Notice verse 5 of 16. But now I'm going to Him who sent me. Now this is really the backdrop of everything. He knows He's going to the cross in just a short time. He's going, after the resurrection, He's going to His Father. That sets this whole, that's a whole scene behind the scene. In verse 5, now I'm going to Him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? Well, they didn't seem to have a clue, just like I'm sure we wouldn't if we'd have been there. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. They're thinking about persecution. They're thinking about Christ leaving. Wouldn't you be sad? I mean, think of those who have lost loved ones. I've been thinking in the last week, I'm not quite sure why, I've just been thinking a lot about my mom and dad, and they're both with the Lord. I just think, you know, I can't go see them. Right? I can't go see them. I just love to give my mom a hug, right? I'd probably give my dad a hug too. But anyway, you know, you just think, you miss them. But I remember early on, especially, the grief of that loss. Now, I know they're with the Lord, but it's still a loss. And these believers are grieving the loss that's coming. He says, you know, sorrow's overwhelmed you. You know, sorrow's part of life. But he's helping them with their sorrow. And He needs to help us with our grief as we think about some of the times that we face. Now, notice, this is very important for us to remember. Verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Now, one version reads this way, but it is actually best for you that I go. It's actually best for you that I go away. Now, why in the world would it be best? Remember, He loves us, and love is what a person loves somebody, He does what's best for that person. Why would it be best? Read our words as we continue on. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you. Now, just imagine. Let's just think. Thanks for the water, too. Just think, if the Lord Jesus was here and you were sitting here, that'd be really, boy, wouldn't that be cool? Just sitting here, that would be awesome. Say, Jesus, I really got a problem today. Help me out, you know? And we're talking, saying, you know, I'm kind of a huggy kind of, you might have noticed that, but I'm kind of, you know, I'd probably give him a hug, right? You know, and just, I mean, respectfully. So, but anyway, you're sitting here, that'd be great. But you say, when you leave, and the Spirit comes, it's better. How can that be? Well, let's just think about it. If the Lord Jesus was sitting up here and He's talking to me, He's not back there sitting with you, talking to you. When the Spirit comes, God, the Spirit, He can dwell within every believer, every place in the world, at the same moment. Isn't that amazing? Say, God, you can be with me by your Spirit. The Lord Jesus, we talked again this morning, the Lord Jesus in His humanity, in that sense, was limited in one place. Now, obviously, He's God, and there's a lot of complicated things on that, but the Spirit of God can be in each of our hearts right now, and wherever we're at tomorrow, wherever we're at next, no matter where you go, the Spirit of, you cannot get out of His presence. Isn't that much better? God is with us wherever we go. If you're a believer, if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit has come within you, and you will never be abandoned by Him. That's great. Thank you, God. What a wonderful plan. It truly was better for the Lord Jesus to go back to heaven and send the Spirit so He could dwell within each believer. We just say thank you. Isn't it a wonderful thing not to be alone? Isn't it a wonderful thing? remember one night, I had, without lots of details, out in the middle of the night, driving an old truck, and I got this thing on fire. The brake got on fire. You're laughing. That was not funny. I was just a kid, right? You know, I was a kid. I thought, this thing's going to blow up. I'm going to die. Nobody's going to care, right? I mean, that was going on my mind, right? You know, I felt, one thing about that moment, I felt so alone. So alone. But you know what? If you know the Lord Jesus, you are not alone. You are not. And that is a whole lot better. Don't try to go through this life alone. A person that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, they're on their own. But when you have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He is not only your Savior, but the Spirit of God has come to live within you and go with you wherever God sends you. That's so amazing. God, thank you. Thank you. Now, look at our passage. We think about the Spirit coming. He has provided. And first we see how His provision is met for the world. Notice in verse 8. And He, the Spirit, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. One scholar makes this observation. This is the one place in Scripture where the Spirit is spoken of as performing a work in the world. The many other references speak of what He will do in believers. Isn't that interesting? I mean, all the other references relate to what the Spirit of God does in a believer's life. This is the one reference where it talks about what the Spirit of God does in those who don't know the Lord Jesus yet. Now let's just think this, so that makes it, we need to pay attention, right? We need to think, well, what is the Spirit of God, what is His goal in unbelievers? Those who don't know the Lord Jesus. Notice it says, when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Convict. It's a legal term. And like a prosecuting attorney, let's say the prosecuting attorney was challenging the person on the stand, trying to expose the situation. The Spirit of God works to expose the situation. To convict. Now, He doesn't do it to be mean, but because we're blind. We don't see the reality. He's trying to give us such a convincing argument in our hearts that we see the reality, we see the truth, and we can't deny it. The Spirit of God comes and He works in the world, and I think this is it. He works in every heart in some measure, bringing conviction in some measure. And what is that first area? Sin. Now, we don't like to talk about sin. We don't like anybody to point out our sin, right? But we need to know about our sin. Sin's destructive. If we ignore it, you know what? It destroys us. It corrodes us. We need to know about it. And notice what it says. And this is the big sin. You say, well, what's a big sin? Right? You say, oh, Hitler, he committed a big sin. Well, he did commit a big sin. But you just, you know, notice the sin. I think we'd probably tag something else. Notice what he says. Verse 9, concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. They did not believe in me. This is huge. The whole book of John is trying to bring belief. I read this to you, but this is a caption of the whole book, really, in John 20. It says, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. What will be the ultimate reason people will be separated from God forever? Because they robbed the drugstore? Because they did not believe in the Lord Jesus. Notice, we need to read this. Let's look at John 3:16. Let's go to John 3:16 for just a moment. Now, you when I say John 3:16, most of you say, oh yeah, yeah. But let's just think for a second. John 3:16. Pay attention to the concept of belief. John 3:16, the verse that probably most of us have memorized, for God so loved the world. He's speaking to us because He loves us. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him, in His Son, shall not perish. Oh, if you put your faith in Him for your eternal destiny, you will not perish, but have eternal life. Oh God, thank You. I hope each one of you have eternal life. But notice it goes on, verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. That wasn't His intent, a purpose. But that the world might be saved through Him. Notice verse 18. He who believes in Him is not judged. Do you see that? He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe, however, has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The greatest crime we can commit is to refuse to trust Christ with our eternal destiny. He came into the world. God, the Father, who loved His Son more than we can understand of our love for our children. God, the Father, sent His Son to die on the cross. To pay for our sin. And we're saying, I don't care. We're saying, I'm not going to trust Him. We're saying, I'm not interested. The sin of unbelief is what will ultimately take people into eternal separation from God. You cannot ignore and trash the Son of God and think you're going to waltz into heaven, because it's all about Him. He's the one that paid the price about our sin. So the Spirit of God, now, the Spirit of God, in coming to convict us of our sin, He is not trying to just rough us up. He is saying, If somebody in here, and I'm sure somebody probably does, have cancer, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor didn't want to hurt your feelings, so the doctor says, I'm not going to tell them they have cancer. You know, have a nice day, go get some ice cream. Is that love? No. The doctor who cares about the patient says, you have cancer and we've got to deal with it. The Lord Jesus, who loves us, says, you have sin and you've got to deal with it. And then notice that next one. See what it says? There's these three things. I'm going to need to fly. And notice it says, concerning, verse 10, concerning righteousness. Because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. The world condemned the Lord Jesus. Said, hey, we want you out of here. They felt so self-righteous. What happened? Well, the Lord Jesus, He allowed them to put Him to death. But the Father rose Him back from the dead to life. Can't find His body. You know why? Because He's resurrected. He's seated at the right hand of God. Who's the righteous one here? Who's the righteous one? Well, the resurrected Son of God. We're the unrighteous ones. We're the unjust. He's the just. We're the unrighteous. He's the righteous. And the resurrection gives ample proof to that reality. And notice that last one. The Spirit of God convicts us of coming judgment. You want to ignore? You want to ignore what we're talking? Notice where it will take us. Notice what happened at the cross. Do you see this? Verse 11, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. If the evil one has been judged, those who stay on his side, they will be judged. And God says, I love you too much. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. The Spirit of God's trying to convict us, trying to convict the unbeliever to come to faith in Christ. Now, let me just say a few other things. The Spirit of God also has an awesome ministry to believers. And I'll have to deal with this very quickly, but I don't want to leave without saying something about it. Verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Well, isn't that often true with us? But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. I just want to highlight this. He will guide you into all truth. One of the things the Spirit of God has done for us who are believers is that He gave the truth, all the truth, to His apostles and close associates. And that truth now we have in our New Testaments. Do you see what it says? Don't miss this. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. All the truth that we need to live in this life is wrapped up in this book. All the spiritual realities that we need, all the things that make an eternal difference is wrapped up in this book. And God, by His grace, gave that truth to these men. And by God's Spirit and by His kindness and His preservation, He passed that truth on to what you have in your presence, the Word of God. The Lord has given us the truth. What the Word is true. And He's given it all. So it's totally trustworthy and it's totally sufficient. It's totally all the truth that we need to know. Not that we know everything about all the chemical realities and all the things of, you know, but everything we need to know we have in this book. Because God loves you and God tells the truth and God wants you to know the truth. And the truth, as we already know, sets you free. So you want to live free? You got the truth. Now it does say to us though, we got to open the truth. We got to read the truth. We got to take in the truth. We got to revel in the truth. My wife was dealing with a young lady. She's going through this huge crisis. Huge crisis. And she would say to you, she's a Christian. I don't have any reason to doubt that she's a Christian. And my wife, Marty, said to her, she said, "When's the last time you read your Bible?" She thought, at least it was a year ago. What? You see, if we're not taking in God's truth, we're not prepared for the crisis. You know, a lot of Christians, there's a crisis coming down the road. And we're not doing anything to prepare for it. We need the Word to truth to handle today and 2 years from today, taking it in. May we be a people of the book. Because you're not going to get truth anywhere else. Okay? The world's got lots of stuff to offer, but God has the truth. We want to take it in. Take it in, take it in. Now let me just go to the second aspects of this book, and I don't want to miss this. God first shows us that Christ provided the Spirit. And there's so many other things the Spirit does for the believer. And we haven't touched them. There are many other passages. And the Spirit of God is in us. He goes with us. He empowers us. He guides us. He enlightens our mind to the truth. He does so many wonderful, wonderful things. But the Lord Jesus also, in the latter part of this, knowing the trouble that was coming, provides comfort. Provides comfort. You know what? I know in a group this size, there's got to be some genuine pain. Marty and I have had some real pain this year. We need comfort. We need comfort. And the Spirit of God comes and the Lord Jesus through Him provides comfort. Now, I just want to read. We'll jump all the way. We'll go all the way to the end of this wonderful passage. There's so many things that are these treasures in here, but I want to just draw your eyes to verse 32. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, to leave me alone And yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Notice the intimacy between the Father and the Son. Verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. In me, I think that harkens back to what we discovered and talked about this morning. As we abide in Him, we have wonderful treasures that we can enjoy. Love. And we talked about joy and this various passages that we didn't have a time to go to. He offers us joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. As we abide in the Lord Jesus, we can experience peace that seems so impossible in a world that's gone mad. You know, if you want to pray for somebody, you ought to pray for our dear brothers and sisters in China. I was reading an article just last week. Persecution to the house churches in China has gone up 42% from last year. 42%. Our dear brothers and sisters are suffering. They are suffering persecution. They need peace. But you know what? The Lord Jesus shows us and reveals to us that He is up for the task. Now, granted, I've never had to go through that. I've had a pretty easy ride. But the Lord Jesus says, no matter what comes your way, as you draw on me, you can know peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. And I was thinking about that. You know, in a sense, that's kind of upsetting. But it also is forewarning. Yeah, I shouldn't be surprised. I thought it was going to be an easy skate. You will have tribulation. Take heart, He says. Take heart. Be encouraged. I have overcome the world. Who's the victor? Who's going to win? You're going to win if you know the Lord Jesus. If you're on His side, and He's the winner. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He's winning. He is going to ultimately win. Yes, there's trouble. Yes, life is painful. There are disappointments and sadnesses and grief. Yes, yes, yes. But remember, in Him we can draw on His peace. Yes, there's tribulation in this old world, but take heart. He is the winner. And if you know Him, you will win. You will win. Isn't He a wonderful God? Isn't it amazing? And He is so precious and so awesome. And let's thank Him. Lord, we're here tonight. We thank You for these words that Lord Jesus has given to us. Oh, how we need to hear them. We forget. We forget so quick. We thank You that You are our peace. Help us draw near to You and draw on You. We thank You that You are the victor. Father, may each one of us trust in Christ so that we one day will know the ultimate expression of victory. Lord Jesus, we just entrust ourselves to You. And we do take heart because of Jesus. In His name.